All affectionately. It is very, let me say, yeah, it's inspiring to see that devotees wish to Sangha or the Sangha is the thank you. This morning, yesterday, excellent association which can inspire them to come. When you look really at the teachings of the Bhagavatam, you will always find one element, and that is that the process of bhakti starts with meeting devotees. There's a very famous verse from that appears at the end of the 10th canto, which says, when someone meets devotees, when a wandering soul meets the devotees of Achyuta, at that time his cycle of repeated birth becomes interrupted. And the reason why it becomes interrupted and a new chapter starts is because in that association he will hear about Krishna. And once the soul hears about Krishna, there is a chance that he develops an affection for Krishna, an attachment which starts with Shraddha, a loving inclination to listen to the devotees and the Shastras. So this evening I would like to talk about Krishna personally. I would like to praise Lord Krishna and glorify him, and also see if I can help all of you to go a little bit deeper in the subject. And this is Krishna's our suited. He's very dear and close to our hearts. Now, before doing this, I want to see
even
when Srila Prabhupada visited Hamburg in 1969, I was not yet on the path of bhakti. I was in Hamburg doing my Hamburg activities of bewilderment and confusion, but later I got a transcript of one lecture which Prabhupada gave. And this transcription really was very important for me. Prabhupada was speaking about a wandering soul going from birth to birth, body to body. And he said, the ideal person, you don't know where you will be in your next life. Krishna, the Prabhupada said, wherever I'm taking my transmigration, when I leave this body and enter into a next body, God goes there just to see what I am doing. When I shall turn my face towards him, he has been waiting for that. And as soon as I turn my face towards him, oh, he says, my dear one, come on! At the bridge pass, he would say, Badaibo, Badaibo means welcome, welcome. Come on, come on. Sachama Mama Priyo. The Lord says, you are eternally dear to me. Now you are turning your face to me. So I'm very good. This is how Krishna accompanies the soul from birth to birth, and he wants to see how is he doing. and waits, really, like an anxious friend who waits that this friend will look again and he's simply waiting. I saw this yesterday, two devotees. I knew they had a quarrel at the time of distance. And one devotee looked like this to his other friend, hopefully he smiles at me. And then the other friend smiled at him. It seemed he felt very relieved. So in the same way, the Lord is waiting for us, like a friend who waits for another friend. And as soon as I turn my face towards the Lord, oh, he says, my dear son, come on, come on, come a little bit closer, huh? Come on, come on. The Lord says, you are eternally dear to me. Now you turn your face to me, so I'm very good.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Arjuna became very fiery. As you know, he had to battle many battles for the cause of Dharma. But when everything was over and Yudhishthira was enthroned, and there was peace and prosperity, and Krishna was often their guest, Arjuna became so fiery that he was smoking. The reason is that he was thinking about the different relationships with Krishna. He thought of Grandfather Bhishma, who acknowledged the Lord to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who also had some insights in the confidential relationships of the gopis with Krishna. But his heart was cold. And he describes, Arjuna describes, why he was so angry with Bhishma. He was a respectable elder, and in the Vedic culture, elders are to be respected. But Arjuna was so angry at Grandfather Bhishma because he did not agree with Bhishma's devotional perspective on Krishna. He said, Bhishma is a devotee, and others, and Kurukshetra, they are also devotees of Krishna. But they attacked Krishna on the battlefield because dry speculation of jnana, which is so much against bhakti, had taken their minds away. They justified themselves. Krishna comes to fight. He likes to fight. Let him have a good fight. We are kshatriyas. This is good. There's a rule. On the battlefield, a kshatriya will joyfully fight so much that he is ready to kill even his father and other relatives. Maybe you will not understand because not many of you practice martial arts. But when you enter the ring with your friends, then friendship is displayed by not hugs, but by delivering good blows. So Bhishma was concerned with this Dharma, and therefore he attacked the Lord. I tried to stop Krishna. I said, Lord, let me deal with this. But Krishna thought, no, I want to protect you. And he ran towards Bhishma. And then Bhishma shot arrows in his body, and the Lord's body began to bleed. Arjuna wants to express in this verse that these warriors who attacked Krishna did so because their understanding was actually dry and impersonal. They didn't see Krishna as the best friend. They saw him as the absolute truth, who is beyond the three gunas, beyond all attacks. Can you pierce the sky when you shoot an arrow? No, the sky is not armed by an arrow or by a flower which you throw at the flower, at the sky. The sky is beyond this. But Arjuna says that these people didn't have the sweet honey taste of Sri Krishna's lotus feet. The blows which Krishna received in the battle seemed to penetrate his skin and draw blood. In reality, Krishna just perspired, and it looked as if blood came out. These people drew fatal blows which were enough to kill a human fighter. Krishna, however, kept on running unarmed towards Bhishma to stop him, because he wanted to show how much he feels for his devotees. Arjuna says, Krishna, you are Chakrapani. You have the Sudarshan Chakra. You could just taken off his head and effortlessly you could have warded off all the attacks of the opponents. But you bore all these blows. You tolerated them because you wanted to increase my fame. Krishna, I came again and again to you and to dissuade you. And I told you, Krishna, my Lord, since you promised not to join the fight, why are you now advancing to kill Bhishma? Why are you accepting the blows of Bhagadatta and all the others when I am your friend? I'm here to protect you. Speaking like this, Arjuna grabbed hold of Krishna's feet and tried to stop him. But Krishna said, he's my friend. Should I just stay as the absolute truth and just juice my chakra once? Everything is finished with one chakra journey. No, I have emotion. I have love for my friend. I will show the world how much I am in this dynamic relationship of friendship. I want to invite everyone to accept me as their best friend. And that's why Krishna did not personally display his supreme power, but he acted as a bosom friend of Arjuna, who fought like Arjuna and protected Arjuna and broke his promise for Arjuna, because he wants to show, for my devotees, I'm willing to do everything. This is the difference between seeing Krishna as a friend and seeing him the way institutional religion preaches about God. You say, hi, you are very low, you better behave and do all this, then you might earn the favor of Krishna. And by the way, while you do all this, we are spreading our religion, you are our missionary, we want to please the Lord, be good with your results. Krishna wants to be the friend of his devotees, the unconditional friend. And he waits for us to turn towards him. Although we have left Krishna, Krishna has not left us. Here he is living with me within my heart. And he says, I give an advice to my devotee who turns to me, how he can come quickly to me. Prabhupada says, if you love Krishna like a friend, then Krishna will love you more than you ever can. What capacity do you have to love Krishna anyways? But Krishna will love, and he has got immense capacity. My dear devotees, I would like today talk about one particular pastime which has always caught my attention, and I have experienced something which I guess many of you have experienced. When you hear one pastime of Krishna, Again and again, you notice it's ever fresh. The moment you hear new, and you hear a new detail in it. And I did not know this, but the Acharyas say, I just heard this in Vrindavan, that in this pastime, we see that this pastime, Krishna actually wants to reveal the mystery of divine friendship, friendship with the Lord. So I would like to tell you this pastime in a new way, the way I heard it in Vrindavan, and I read it in one scripture called Bhaktamala. That is a work which was written to make peace amongst all the schools and sampradayas and movements, because it highlights the different experiences of devotees with Krishna, regardless in which group or movement they are. And by reading it, you can understand, wow, we should respect all movements. In fact, I read today, we should even respect all religions, because Krishna engages with everyone who approaches him, wherever they are, wherever they learn, and he appears before them. So here is the pastime. Sudama was Krishna's dear friend. He was so detached from material life that he didn't do anything for his economic situation. He was so poor that in his kitchen there was not even a kilo means kg, of wheat. And between him and his wife, listen to their dressing habits, they only had one piece of cloth. That means when he was out, he was dressing in this cloth, and she was somehow there in the house. And when she went out, she took the dress and went out, and he was somehow dressed in the house. So one day, Sushila, the wife of Sudama, who had thought for 1 year if she would say it or not, went to Sudama and said, "We are very poor." Sudama said, "Correct. We have no proper dress. Now we did not have any proper dress. Our eating situation is not very opulently arranged. No. Why are you not intelligent and remember that you have a very rich friend? He lives in 16,000 palaces. One person. He's very rich. No, don't think this way," said Sudama. "You can go to Krishna and you can ask him. We have no proper dress. You will see." "I won't go. Don't tell me I should go. The whole world will think this Sudama. Now we know his mind. He only was a devotee of Krishna to get his money. We do not wish the world to think that we, the Vaishnavas, the devotees of Krishna, are worshipping Krishna for anything else than his love." Sushila said, "Okay, I understand your point. But why don't you go to Krishna to see his sweet beauty? If you see his sweet beauty through your eyes, his sweet beauty will be in your heart.
And when you come home and I look at you, Krishna's sweet beauty will also be relished by me by looking in your eyes. Why do we do this? You don't have to say one word about our situation. That's a good point. I will not say a word, but I will drink with these very eyes the beautiful form of Krishna, which even Brahma and Shiva want to see. And surely he will accept me because I am his friend. His heart became restless with longing. And then one day, he started on his journey to Dwarka. But as he was approaching the island of Dwarka with a boat, he saw, my God, so rich and so opulent. This, the gate which I see here is made of gold. I can't imagine that Krishna will accept such a person like me, who has not made anything out of his life. So he went to Dwarka. He was allowed to pass the military controls, and he went through gate after gate. There was no checking for Brahmanas at that time. Krishna, who is in the heart of all, must have felt the intense longing which Sudama had felt to see him and his form, experience his words. And he was waiting in the gate of one of his palaces. Went out, was just restlessly waiting. So Sudama is going through this town now. And he saw all these emeralds, all these jewels. You must see, when you see these lights, you become impressed. Wow, these are very good lights. But at the palaces of Krishna, at this huge emeralds, and then there was only one oil lamp burning. It was reflected through millions and billions of these most powerful jewels which you cannot even obtain in the best jewelry in Dubai. Not a little bit. Not any longer. So Sudama goes through this town and sees all these things. Why should Krishna receive him? But as Sudama comes close to this one temple, palace, he sees Krishna leaning against the gate, waiting restlessly. And as Krishna sees Sudama approaching, Krishna starts running towards Sudama, like in the spoken. And as he sees Sudama, he embraces him so tightly, as if he wants to say, you and me are one. And as he embraces him for a long time, Krishna thinks, oh, he is so skinny, maybe I hurt him. So he lets Sudama go and says, you have come. I have waited a long time for you. My dear friend, come with me now. I want to speak with you. And he, Krishna, takes Sudama by the hand, who is simply overwhelmed. When I came into that temple, I saw a little Shuka Muni, the most dressed, well-dressed baby in ISKCON. And he was sitting on the staircase, totally overwhelmed by the opulence of the Vaishnavas who were passing with deep bhakti in their hearts into the temple. His mother said, he needs now a little pause, he's too overwhelmed by everything. So Sudama was this Machikuma man. He could not move. When they were embracing, it seems the two bodies were merged together. And only when Krishna suddenly remembered, this is, he's so skinny, I will break his bones. You know, maybe his shoulder will become dislocated or something. So Krishna brought Sudama by his hand into the inner chambers. Then he sat him down on a bed which was covered with a cloth that was as white as the foam of a newly milked cow. Krishna looked at him. He was so skinny. He developed a doubt. You are married. But why do you look so skinny? Usually we see the brahmacharis marry, they become very healthy looking. But you are very skinny? Sudama just couldn't speak. And by the way, have you brought a present for me? Sudama had a present. It wasn't a little bag like this. But seeing all the jewels, the sapphire, the emeralds, and all this light and all these opulence, and just below the bed, he thought, this I will not give. It was flat rice, broken rice, which smelled from the dung of the mice. It was very old. And you have this broken rice in India, it's where the mice live. And have their families and all, and it smells. You know, they don't use deodorants or anything, they just smell. And it smells like this. So Krishna thought, he has given a present. Krishna had eaten at that time already the banana peel of Vidura. And sometimes when a loving devotee offered him a fruit, what do we offer? Fruit, flower, water, and a leaf. Sometimes when the devotee has so much love, Vishwana Chakravarti explains, Krishna eats everything, including the flower, because he loses his discrimination thinking of the love of his devotee. So Krishna snatched this package and took the rice out and ate it until Rukmini, who was standing nearby, caught hold of his hand and said, how is it that you are relishing such delicious food alone? Can't you distribute a little to us? And Krishna also gave Rukmini a morsel of that flat rice. She was satisfied also, like Krishna, with Sudama's love and affection expressed. Now I will not eat anymore, because already now I'm so grateful to Sudama, who has given pleasure to you, my Lord. And I'm so grateful to eat this maha prasad which you have left over, that I am the slave, I will give him anything and everything. And let us stop this now. So Krishna saw Sudama, and because he is in the heart of all living entities, he understood the intention of Sushila, who was also his devotee. He understood that Sushila could not tolerate the detachment of her husband any longer. He could understand that Sushila thought, he's getting so skinny, the veins stand out in his body. He should have some help. And after all, he's a friend of Krishna. So Krishna kept this in mind. But because he wanted to give a sign also for these dharmic people like Bhishma, who see only Dharma and not the secrets of deep devotional friendship, he offered an arati to Sudama. He felt, I'm a Kshatriya king, he's a Brahmana, I should worship his lotus feet. And then Krishna, after some time, after 7 days, they had association where they talked about their time in the Gurukul. And after 7 days, Krishna, no, Sudama said, I have to go home. My wife is there. I have her clothes. She needs to go out and do something for her maintenance, you know. I have to go. So Krishna smiled. Krishna could have driven Arjuna and Sudama on a golden chariot back home, but what Krishna did is so loving. He walked with him through his kingdom on foot. Because Krishna felt feet of my devotees who have so much love for me in their heart are so sacred that the dust on this feet purifies everyone who comes in contact. And I want Sudama to walk here and the wind will take his dust and take the dust on the head of my Dvaraka Vasis, these other people who don't have so much love. And then they will be benefited. So Krishna, now he was thinking on the way about the detachment of Sudama. There are two types of detachment, my dear devotees. One is that the person who wants to not be entangled in wealth makes a conscious effort to renounce things. And the second type of detachment is that there is so much love in the heart for the Lord that out of this love the whole world of material enjoyment, including the interesting movies, becomes totally unattractive. And one is totally neutral. Now, where do you think was Sudama? Was he in the first category, making a conscious effort to renounce things? Or was he in the category where he had a higher taste of bhakti and felt neutral, naturally, effortlessly neutral towards material charm? What is your guess? Second category. You know everything. Krishna saw my devotees very renounced. And he thought maybe there is one attachment in him still left which I need to purify. His attachment to detachment. Krishna wanted him to become absorbed entirely in the ocean of pure love. Therefore he made an arrangement to give his friend the test, a palace. When Sudama returned, it was not a test, but he wanted to give him a contrast. When Sudama returned to his village, he saw that the whole village was transformed. It looked as if a king had bought the whole place and built palaces after palaces. In 7 days, Sudama thought, has a king established a kingdom here in this capital town? Or is this the Devatas who have come here? Was it that? Then he was walking. He saw a woman whom he had never seen. She was dressed in the most costly of jewels, and she bent and paid her obeisances to him and addressed him with sweet words, "O Suda, and O my husband." I heard many times the wife doesn't tell the name of the husband, but gives very cryptic names. This morning I heard a cryptic name. So you cannot know if it is him or who is it. And so this is out of respect this time. So, but then she spoke. Sudama understood. This is my wife. She's totally transformed. Sari wise, decoration wise, and she looks healthy and effulgent, dressed in her best clothes, surrounded by hundreds of companions. So Sushila said, "Yes, it's me." And she respectfully greeted her exalted husband and explained to him that by the mercy of Krishna, they had been blessed with extraordinary Sudama was full of wonder. He went into the palace. But my dear devotees, he never became attached to anything in it. He never thought any of this wealth will increase my enjoyment in this world. Instead, he passed his time drinking the beautiful form of Krishna which he had just seen and becoming intoxicated with the sweetness of Krishna's beauty. I want to end here. My devotee has given me the sign. If someone understands that Krishna is my best friend, if he understands that he's the most dear friend of everyone and engages in Krishna's service, he has not the least fear any longer of material existence. My dear devotees, one who understands this secret, that Krishna is my best friend, is actually educated, and because of his education he can become the spiritual master of the world. Such a bona fide spiritual master is not different from Krishna. Now, because I know that you think this is Sachidananda Swami's mental speculation, who just wants to give a nice class or to encourage us, I will read to you a verse from the Bhagavata which will say this. Savai priyatamaschatma yato na bhayamanvapi iti veda savai mitvan yo mitvan saguru hari. One who is engaged in devotional service is not the least fear in material existence. This is because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Super Soul and the friend, the dear friend of everyone. One who knows this secret, the Lord is the friend of everyone, is actually educated. And because he is thus educated, he can become the spiritual master of the world. One who is an actually bona fide spiritual master, a representative of Krishna, is not different from Krishna. So my dear gurus here, gurus in the becoming, my dear spiritual, my dear devotees, you can make a quantum leap, means a huge categorical leap in your life, if you think about how Krishna is your best friend. What we will do now is we will go into an exercise. And we will see at this moment one more kirtan, and then I will ask a question to you. During the kirtan, you might get an answer to this question. My question to you is, what could it mean in your life that Krishna is your friend? How could you deal with this? I have answers, many answers from our Shastras, but I want you to first think about this, because I feel strongly that only a few of you have thought about this already. I think most of you go through this life not thinking of Krishna who's in your heart. I secretly have observed you. I've seen you crying and lamenting and seeing problems because you don't see that Krishna can solve it very easily. You have lost this faith and perspective. And unless you make this step, you will not be peaceful in your life. Also not in our movement. And you will look everywhere for this satisfaction which you feel is denied to you, because the Lord might have abandoned you, given you up. My dear devotees, my life changed when I read this verse in the Gita, Suridam Sarvabhutanam. Krishna is the dear friend of all living entities. I decided after this that I will become a Hare Krishna devotee and become disinherited. I have made this decision in my life because I am, and I still have faith in this, but I now have a different and more complete understanding, because many, many autumns have passed since that time. Many experiences has happened. Many disappointments have happened in my life. And I had to negotiate or understand again and again, knew how Krishna is Suridam Sarvadevinam. So we will sing now. I request you to turn to the 18th.
Krishna,
shall see a little bit more how Krishna is present in your heart. You might be well advised to contact that place in you where you can feel grateful. Srila Prabhupada says that gratitude is that emotion which facilitates spiritual growth. Well, like a plant needs a good ground, so your spiritual life, in order to grow, requires or can. It's good to start with gratitude. You can start with your gratitude simply by thinking, I'm grateful that I'm alive. I'm grateful that it's warm enough, at least now. You can go deeper into being grateful for things which Krishna has given you in the last year. What about good friends which you have met who helped you to move on, or a conversation where somehow the spiritual light seemed to shine through? I mean the torchlight of knowledge which Krishna gave. It's good if you want to enter into this understanding, Krishna is my best friend, that you go through the door of gratitude. You might see many gifts which your friend has placed in the last year in front of you, things which carried his unique signature. You know, they were always very wise, very unexpected, very out of the box. So I request you to enter this meditation, which we will do a lot on meditation when we go into the new year, but to start already now through gratitude, because there you will touch a feeling which is alive in you, something which is there, a devotional feeling that lives. And from there you can go deeper. We will sing for 3 more minutes and then I will ask you to share. I will share with Jai Gopal. Oh,
Hare Krishna.
I thank you very, very much for participating, but now comes your part. My dear devotees, I was very surprised when His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj, after one of his lectures, said, I will introduce now a new method to all of you. It's called Anumodhan. That is, you reflect about this and then share to a neighbor something. And you have now listened to one lecture in the morning, and you have listened to some Krishna Katha in the evening. And I would like to ask you now a question. The question is, many questions I would like to ask you, but could you please, first of all, think how this point, Krishna is my surit, how does this apply to you in your experience? What has happened to you? And then, is there maybe something which you are not doing at the moment, whereby which you could express your friendship? I was visited in Gauravavan. This is what I'm thinking of, a person who I know since 20 years. He's a very rich and influential person. And he came to me and he was very angry with me, very disappointed. And he said, I had expected more of our friendship. I said, I was not aware that you wanted me to act as a friend towards you. I thought I'm getting on your nerves, you know, and I thought, let me not call him, because once when I called you and I said something which enthused me very much, you said, could you please stop now? And I thought, yes, why? Well, I don't like to listen to you now. Okay. So I thought, well, this is a clear sign that we are not friends, but we see some appreciation seems to be there, but it's not a real friendship. Huh? And then the person said, that's my problem. I can't express myself. And that's why I have no friends. I only have money. So I believe that in a relationship where there is bhakti, or the beginning states of bhakti, there must be an expression. And you must show Krishna. As Prabhupada says, he is waiting and he wants us to turn to him. No? Remember this amazing quotation, really. I made a photocopy just for this lecture only. Wherever I take my next transmigration, when I leave this body, says Prabhupada, and enter into another body, Krishna also goes there just to see what I'm doing. Where shall I turn my face towards him? He's simply waiting. And as soon as I turn my face towards God, oh, he says, my dear son, I guess what's a daughter? Come on. The Lord says, you are eternally dear to me. Now you are turning your face to me. So I'm very glad. So is there something? First of all, first question, what is a sign that Krishna is your friend? And we have you this feeling. And the second is, what could you do to turn your face to Krishna, to turn and to you?
Please be careful because Radha and Madan Mohan are here. Please, if you have any very, very serious complaints, maybe say it softly. So not hurt their hearts. No? And we will do this turn to a neighbor. Mataji's, please. Mataji's, please.
Go with your husband. And I will go with Jai Gopal. I want to know what he has to say.
We will